Hello, thank you for joining me today for Give Him 15. The title of today's post is From Cape Henry. Psalm 11, verse 3. Going to read it from three translations. King James, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Amplified. If the foundations of a godly society are destroyed, what can the righteous do? And the Passion Translation. What can the righteous accomplish when truth's pillars are destroyed and law and order collapse? Foundations in the above verse is an important word. The Passion Translation used the phrase truth's pillars to communicate its meaning. The Hebrew word is shatha and can mean a literal foundation, base, or support. However, it is often used figuratively. Strong's says it can describe moral support. It can also mean the basis or foundation for something politically. Another of the figurative uses is purpose, because the purpose of something is the foundation of its existence, the why. In this verse, it is obviously being used in a figurative sense. Applying these meanings to a nation, as this verse does, we could interpret it as a warning regarding a people losing purpose and abandoning the basis upon which its laws and government were built. If our purpose and governmental roots are destroyed, the building will crumble. Now you know why Marxists and progressives are revisionists. History matters. Not only does it inform and teach us, it supports and sustains us. America was founded on biblical Judeo-Christian foundations, not on other religions or dogmas. Remove these foundations and America will be destroyed from within, falling under its own weight. This is now happening. The only recovery for this type of structural problem is to repair and restore the foundation. This is why I teach on and ask God to reconnect America to our godly roots and purpose, our foundations. I sometimes visit places where the foundation was laid in order to repent, pray for America. I reconnect personally and by intercession, appealing to heaven for our nation. Today, I am at Cape Henry with my friends from Flashpoint on the anniversary of the Pilgrims landing there in 1607. They planted a cross on the beach, dedicated the land to God, and declared that the gospel of Jesus Christ, would go from these shores to all the earth. Appeal to heaven is a phrase our founders took from the writings of John Locke. Our founders. And took the phrase from John Locke, an influential English philosopher from the mid-1600s. Locke wrote a series of papers on natural laws. That's what he called them, natural laws, stating that human rights originated with God, not with government. Locke made the case that when people have done everything humanly possible to experience those God-given rights and fail in doing so, there remains but one option. Quote, he said, and where the body of the people or any single man is deprived of their right or is under the exercise of a power without right and have no appeal on earth, then they have a liberty to appeal to heaven. Locke's phrase, appeal to heaven, connotes that when all resources and the ability to attain justice on earth are exhausted, an appeal to earth's ultimate judge is the final recourse. This concept would become a foundational philosophy in American society, used even in the Declaration of Independence. George Washington and his contemporaries used the appeal to heaven phrase in America's cause for freedom from Britain's tyranny. Having exhausted all peaceful possibilities of experiencing their God-given liberty, the colonists realized their only hope of freedom was through war. Yet, with Britain's great military, weaponry, and wealth, contrasted by the colonists' dire lack of these resources, any military attempt to break free from British rule was preposterous, even laughable. Laughable, that is, unless Almighty God intervened. The stance of the colonists was simple. Their right to freedom came from God. If they honored Him, He would help them. We will appeal to heaven, they declared, and the pine tree flag was born, the appeal to heaven. Our founders, however, not only believed God would help them, they believed He, too, wanted this new nation formed. From the days of the Pilgrims, godly men and women have believed Almighty God was involved in the birth of our nation. I'm going to read that again. From the days of the Pilgrims, godly men and women have believed Almighty God was involved in the birth of our nation. They also felt that if a nation chose to partner with and honor God, it would experience His favor and blessing in extraordinary ways. Washington and the colonial dreamers agreed. They believed the sovereign was, indeed, birthing, quote, a city set on a hill that can't be hidden, a light to the world, Matthew 5:14. They no doubt knew of John Winthrop, a leader of the Puritans, Massachusetts Bay Colony, using this verse in his 1630 speech on board the Arbella to describe what he believed God wanted to build in America. The Pilgrims believed America had a God-given destiny, and our founding fathers did as well. They knew of the planting of the cross at Cape Henry in 1607 and of the ensuing prayer meeting dedicating the land to His glory. They had read the Mayflower Compact of 1620, stating the voyage was made for the glory of God and advancement of the Christian faith. That's a quote from that compact. For the glory of God and advancement of the Christian faith. Would God honor these events and prayers? Even more importantly, was He inspiring these actions? Was America God's dream, not just theirs? They believed the answer to these questions was yes. Throughout our history, America's presidents and leaders have also reiterated this belief. John F. Kennedy, Ronald Reagan, and numerous other, at least 14 U.S. presidents, have reiterated it. Though modern-day revisionists try to rewrite and remove this from our history, our foundations, the truth will always trump their lies. General George Washington, leader of the American Revolution, obviously believed in this divine plan. He commissioned several ships for the Revolutionary War efforts, and highlighting their dependence on providential help, each vessel was to fly under the Appeal to Heaven banner. The popularity of the flag spread and was soon flying throughout the colonies, as well as being adopted as the flag of the Massachusetts State Navy. It became the symbol of these colonists' unwavering spirit of liberty, as well as a clear statement of where they placed their faith. America was born under a banner of prayer. 250 years later, God brought this banner out of hiding to serve as a stark reminder that our strength alone did not birth this nation. We were birthed by the hand of God. And we were born not just for our personal blessing and freedom. We were created to represent Christ around the world. In our now spiritually weakened state, Psalms 11:3, America must appeal again. Just as we were no match for the military power controlling us in that day, in our own strength, we're no match for the spiritual powers controlling us now. Only that which birthed us then can rebirth us now and appeal to heaven. Let's pray. Join us from Cape Henry and join us on the program this evening, Flashpoint. Father, the way in which you raised up America as a voice in the earth is indeed remarkable. You did so to use her as a trumpet of the gospel to the ends of the earth. We are humbled and inspired. We are deeply impacted by the knowledge that we were born under a movement of prayer, that it truly was through appealing to you that our freedom was produced. You've brought this flag, the Appeal to Heaven flag, out of hiding, and we're asking us to appeal once again. We are doing so, and believe you will once again free us from oppression, this time from within. Overthrow the evil trying to destroy our heritage and destiny, our foundation. Overthrow those who defile our children and promote perversion. We bind these efforts in the name of Jesus. Just as our founders stated in the Declaration of Independence, we are, quote, appealing to the supreme judge of the world for the rectitude of our intentions, end quote. Today, we do so from Cape Henry. And so, Lord, we ask you to bring revival to America. We pray for your church, the ecclesia, to rise to the glorious level you speak of in Scripture. Worthy bride for you and an expression of your authority on the earth. Make us an ecclesia the gates of hell cannot prevail against, just as you said. We call this forth in the name of Jesus and decree that America shall be saved. We ask and declare this in the name of the Lord himself, Jesus Christ. Our decree. We decree that our appeal to heaven is being heard and is rebirthing America. Amen. Amen. Well, portions of today's post were taken from my book. I don't have one to hold up today, An Appeal to Heaven, small little inspirational book that'll teach you all about this and give you hope and put faith in you. God is not finished. America. I guarantee it. Join us tonight. And I'll see you again on Give Him 15 Monday.